And this is the world's greatest Springsteen podcast. It's episode 22. I am the fisherman, the bootlegger who pays the highest price. With me always is Tom. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I guess there's a lot to talk about this week in Bruce Land. When we talked last week, he was like about to... We knew Patty was being inducted that night into the New Jersey Hall of Fame. We didn't know that Bruce was going to attend and induct her, which is what happened. And when we talked last week, we knew the 50th anniversary was that day of The Wild and the Innocent. In fact, I showed that 2014 Brisbane show on my channel that night where they played the full album. And turns out he showed up for that symposium also, and people got a real treat at the Wild and the Innocent and the E Street Shuffle 50th anniversary symposium at the Monmouth Springsteen Archive. Well, the temporary, because I guess they're moving into a full building. So that was this week, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Hopefully I didn't just spoil the whole thing. But first, the big news is, since last we talked, they announced new dates for Europe, and they went on sale, or at least some of them went on sale. Enough of them went on sale that they added a second London date. So I wanted to quickly talk about that, and they didn't fit in my background behind me, but I will bring them up here. This is what we are looking at for the Europe tour, although the bottom seems to be cut off. How do you get rid of this toolbar? I have no idea. So starting May 5th in Cardiff, they're playing Belfast, Kilkenny, and Cork, and Dublin. That's all Ireland. Those are your folk, right? You're going to go head over to the homeland and check out Bruce?
I doubt it.
You know, Tom, somebody commented on our YouTube episode last week that it was our best episode yet, and I got really excited, and then I saw that it was an O'Donnell.
Oh, it was? No, I saw that comment, and I don't recognize who that is.
It was one of your brothers.
Really?
Yes.
I'll have to look at that again. I looked at the person's name, and I didn't recognize it.
You had to click it.
I saw there's a comment from one of our fans, Marie, and she's convinced my name is Paul. She, for weeks now.
I think it's because she thinks you look like McCartney.
Guess so, which is a compliment, I suppose. But to continue to call me Paul when you say my name a few times during the show. So how could she possibly still think it's Paul?
So Sunderland on the 22nd. I am just not sure what's on the 25th. Can you see what's on the 25th? You can't see because you're on a phone.
Yeah.
The 28th in Prague, June 1st and 3rd in Milan, June 12th and 14th in Madrid. There's only one day off in between there, too. Hey, there's only one day off between Milan and Milan. The 2 day off is off the table. I didn't even notice this before. The 2 days off is off the table for these Europe dates, because some of these shows where he's traveling, well, even Stockholm has 2 days off between Stockholm and Stockholm. But no, it looks like Milan only has one night off. Madrid only has one night off. And then, as we were talking about before we started recording, they added a second London show, and that only has one night off. So it seems like they've broken away from the two night off. Everybody thought that had something to do with his health, but maybe it just had to do with scheduling.
Yeah. I don't see why he would need more than a night off. As far as his voice is concerned, I think that's been always been enough. You know, have you noticed his voice getting real bad after?
No, we watched the most recent show, yeah, which is also like the most hyped up show of all the 2023 shows, that MetLife 3. He sounded great.
Yeah.
Sounds great. He was hoarse a couple times, cracking voice a couple times throughout the tour. I couldn't possibly name which shows I'm talking about, but no, I thought he sounded great you know who's cracked? Jake's saxophone missed some notes on Jungleland. Jake struggled at the beginning of Jungleland at MetLife, but Bruce was on fire. I thought he was great. Assumed that they decided that 2 days off would make it for an easier schedule, but maybe that's not the case. Maybe the case is that was just when the buildings were available, or what have you, or they changed their mind after they did the whole U.S. scheduling and Canadian scheduling, and then all of a sudden in Europe they was like, it's only what, 1, 2, 3 that I named. It's only 3 cities that he's doing back shows with only one night off. It's not like the whole tour.
Yeah, so he added about 22 shows, and maybe more if you said he added a London show, so maybe it's 23 now. But there's no the rumor, I even mentioned this rumor on one of our shows, that the announcement would be Australian dates, and then these dates were announced and no Australian dates. So there's plenty of time.
The last 2 Australian tours were in February, and February is still wide open. He doesn't start back up according to the schedule as is until March 19th. So there still could be February 2024. It just seems like they're cutting it kind of close. Where back in the day, they used to, a Bruce show would go on sale, and 4 weeks later, you'd be going to that show. Hasn't really been that way lately. They're putting them on sale 8 months in advance, 6 months in advance. Probably not, maybe 2025, but, that's still possible that, they just did the Europe. New dates in Europe. They just put them on sale. Could we be on the heels of an Australian announcement? I'd like to believe that they have one U.S. show to shove there into the schedule on March 22nd. Still wide open. I'm starting to get the feeling that John Landau doesn't listen to this show.
No. And as far as Australia, he's so popular there and sells out. And it's like, that would be just like not coming to Jersey during a tour. That's easy money right there.
It is easy money, and it's a beautiful place to be in February, from what I understand. It's like summer in the U.S. It's like, coastal beach towns that he stays in. He seems really impressed with it whenever he goes there on the tapes. Yeah. You can always hear him talking about how great it is to be there, especially when it's freezing cold back here. But it's also a long, long time to be away from home. He's going to be gone for that, for 2 solid months, or May and June. Should we look at that again? It was May and June and July, pretty much all the way through all 3 of these months, from May 5th to July 27th is Wembley. That's a long time that he's in Europe to like spend a month in Australia. It's a long time to be away. Don't they have?
Yeah, but away from what?
Don't they have a dog?
Not that I know of, but yeah, I mean, his kids are grown out of the house. If Patty wants to see him, she can always come into work.
Go. She could go. She said she's going, right? Right. The last we heard from her, she said, I'm going to be on the 2024 tour.
Well, she said she'd be there at least. We don't know. She didn't specify the entire tour, but
no, but I saw that wording. It sounded to me like she planned to be back full time, barring any specific things she needs to do. Her focus is going to be on E Street Band in 2024. That's what I got out of what she had to say.
Yeah, and they start the tour starts in the U.S. anyway, so
it does. And if they don't add anything, especially if they don't add Australia in February, but if they don't add anything, then it's starting in Phoenix March 19th, and I plan to be there, and that would put me at the first show of the tour in 2023, and the first show at the tour of 2024.
And I don't know if you saw, there was a little interview with Steve Van Zandt. I guess a new one, a little clip of, again, commenting on Bruce's health. And he said that Bruce is basically fine now. He's overcome this. But out of caution, we're starting the concert in March. We're starting the tour in March. But he's ready to go now.
And that's probably exactly the truth. I'm sure he's ready to go now, and it looks like they're probably not starting until March, but I never take what Steve has to say as gospel when it comes to the scheduling of the E Street Band. Sometimes, you know, he's like, what do I know? They don't tell me until they add the date, just like you.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be nice to, start a little early, but I guess that's not going to happen.
I just want to see him add one show in between Phoenix and San Diego. They do not need six nights off after the first night back. One night back and then six nights off. There's something wrong with that. That's five nights off. Six nights till the next show.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with that. Doesn't make any sense. There's got to be a March 22nd show somewhere in the desert between Phoenix and San Diego, somewhere in a sphere, maybe in a big sphere.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no reason to miss Vegas. This doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. And I doubt he would play the sphere at this point, but it looks like Fish is going to lock up eight nights in April at the sphere. So I'm greatly looking forward to not being able to afford to go see that.
Oh, I'm sure you'll find a reasonable ticket.
I'll find a way in one night. No way I'll get to go to any more than that, but I will find my way in one night. And I think they'll webcast it, probably. I could see them not webcasting, even though they webcast every show now. I could see him going, well, it's not really translatable to watching it at home on video, so we're not going to webcast it. But I'm hoping that they do, and the world will really get a real good look at the inside of that place, not just on YouTube videos from people's phones, but from a professional film crew from Nugs. Nugs does every one of their shows live video.
Well, I wish someone would tell John Landau about this new technology.
He knows. They know. It's not for them. It blows the magic trick. Bruce plays the same show every night. It would rapidly get bored. Fish plays a different show every night. They can webcast every night, and their fans will come back night after night. But if Bruce webcasts every night, he might webcast one. I think we will see one of these shows get webcast. But he's not going to webcast night after night. People will get bored with it.
Why reward the fans?
No, I think that there will be one. And, you know, reward, it's going to be $40 to watch it at home.
Yeah, somebody makes the decision to webcast a Seeger session show, you know, yet they won't webcast this tour.
I think it's early. He doesn't like spoilers out there. He doesn't want everybody to see the George Thies story before they come to the arena to see it. So he doesn't want it on the internet. I mean, he can't stop cell phone videos anymore. But they're not going to do a webcast, pay-per-view, DVD, anything, or Blu-ray, anything like that early in the tour. Look what they did on Broadway. They released They filmed it and released it the day after the run ended. They think that it's going to keep people from buying a ticket.
Well, if that's the case, why are these shows that were filmed years and years ago, why haven't they been released?
Well, I think that the problem with that is that video doesn't make enough money, and Bruce Springsteen needs to put out something that's going to sell a million units, and videos just don't. They don't. People listen to music in their car. They don't put it on the TV. And, you know, we're a unique breed, we who watch concert videos every night. We're not common. And so there's a market for it, but it's a smaller market. And Springsteen doesn't dabble in the small market, man. It's what takes him so long to put something out. He's got to be able to promote it the way they promote it. You know, he does. It's amazing that they made the deal with Nugs. It's amazing. I'd love to see how much they make off of Nugs. I hope it's enough to keep it going forever. It's been going well for 8 years. But it's amazing.
What about the deal he made with Sony?
I know so little about that deal, except he got $500 million for it. That's all I know. And I expected to start hearing a bunch of Bruce on commercials. But
exactly. Like,
nothing hasn't really happened.
There's been no releases. There's nothing. It's just like, what did they get out of this?
They might not get anything until he's dead. The contract didn't come out in the public. There was no article that detailed everything that he sold. He sold the rights. When that begins or how much control they have while he's alive, we don't know anything, man. We don't know who's in charge. Just Sony.
Yeah.
Sony's not a person. Sony can't make decisions. We know so little about it, except that he trusted them with his babies. And, you know, he said that to Howard Stern, to somebody on, you know, an interview this year or last year, that, you know, he felt that he's been with them for a long time since they were Columbia. And, you know, Columbia was bought by Sony. He didn't like sign a new deal with a new company. He was with Columbia from the beginning, and Columbia was bought by Sony, and he stuck with them. He still deals with the same people that he's dealt with for a long time. And he felt comfortable with them being in charge. I'm sure, you know, he watches Succession. He doesn't need to see his kids fight over his estate. It's like, you know, liquidate it and split it up equally. So I don't know. He got what he got for it. I don't know what they get to use it for.
We did get to see the deal with Columbia through WikiLeaks, and we got to see what his contract said and what was supposed to be released by Bruce Springsteen every year during this contract. And he hasn't lived up to that, because there were releases that, you know, the Born in the USA box set was supposed to be released. There was supposed to be a new album, you know, so many things were supposed to be tracks, and none of this has come out according to that contract that we read on WikiLeaks.
I'm aware of this contract. I never read it. I've read things about it. Here's what I know. If he really breached this contract, they could sue him. But we don't know about addendums that were made to the contract, because they don't want to sue him. They want to give him $500 million because he's still one of their greatest commodities. So just because he signed a contract and didn't live up to it or didn't produce something that was in that contract, doesn't mean that there's not other paperwork that didn't WikiLeak that, you know, cleared him of that in a trade-off for this. Well, I'll give you a no nukes in lieu of a box set because I don't have, you know, whatever it is. They are very much yes, Bruce over there, man. They gave him $500 million, and I'm sure that circumvented any other earlier contracts with Columbia.
Yeah. So
let me tell you something. I had Columbia records and tapes. I gave them a penny, and they sent me 13 CDs, and I was supposed to buy. I was supposed to order a CD, like two a year. I don't remember what the contract was, but I broke it every time. So Columbia is not real strict with breaking contracts.
Yeah, I guess you must be right about that.
Did you ever Columbia House? Did you ever have a Columbia
Didn't
House
everyone?
subscription? Well, you're 10 years younger than me, so I don't know. Eventually, no. Eventually, it kind of and people look at you and they go, "I have no idea what you're talking about."
Yeah, no, I do remember that.
So this week, as we were recording, they had that symposium. We didn't have any information on what was going on while we were recording, but here we are a week later, and we've got all the information of what went down, including the appearance by Bruce Springsteen. I guess a lot of people knew because he was on the sign, what time he was appearing and what topic he was going over, and he was like the last one of the day. I saw some pictures of it, so people knew. And I read a thing after the fact on Reddit that said, you're going to want to go to this, that was put up a few hours before, or maybe even the night before, get a ticket and go to this, you know. And I don't know who it was from, but they obviously knew something. So, but I know Tom's watched all the videos and he's heard the speech and read the articles. So we'll get a report of what went down at Monmouth a week ago today.
Well, there's not a whole lot to talk about. Not a whole lot happened. He just chatted a bit about the album, making the album and recording it, but he didn't sing. There were performances, so he had the opportunity to get up and sing or play, but he opted out.
I caught a video of David Sanctius playing New York City Serenade. Thought it was all right. Thought it was all right. I did not see any video of Bruce. I saw photos of Bruce with Gary on stage talking about the album, but I haven't seen any video of what was said. So probably could have done a better job of researching what went on a week ago today if I would have watched those videos. Did you see any video of Bruce up on the stage with Gary?
No, I just read about the interview itself, and he just said also that the recordings that ended up on the album were like a first or second take. They barely rehearsed before recording that album.
That's amazing, especially the way Bruce would, you know, record the same song 55, 60 times for later albums, and the way New York City Serenade has so many different incarnations of live versions leading up to when they finally recorded the album. It's amazing that they just took the second take of New York City Serenade.
Yeah, I think they had just been playing those songs so much before they got into the studio that they were ready. And of course, it turned out great.
Oh, one of my favorites, as I was saying last week, one of my all-time favorites to this day. It's the second album.
Yeah, and only 7 songs, I believe. It's a very different album. You know, it's not like any other album. Each song is almost every song is very long. So you can't fit more than 7 on there, I guess, because they're just really drawn out and very good, but they never did anything like it again. That was just a one-time thing.
He introduced it in New York when they played the full show in New York in 2009, that it was really his love letter to New Jersey and New York, that side A was all his streets of New Jersey. And, you know, every song is like from right there in his hometown in Asbury Park. And that side two is like all New York City, and getting when he got to New York and things that went on, what he saw. And it's like, you know, his ode to New Jersey and New York and split down the middle by sides that way. And yeah. Really is. Except Wild Billy Circus, which is not in, it's about, I guess it's about leaving New Jersey, right?
I was very intent on saying that I was from New Jersey. And this is the record company wanted to say I was from New York. Somebody photoshopped in, or whatever, however they did it in those days, the ocean. And actually, I was in New York City. I was very intent on that being my identity. I said, well, this is my name, this is where I'm from, this is what I'm going to write about, and I really need to, nobody else was doing it. And so I needed to be sort of very grounded in a local music scene. Was really
Yeah, and then we've got some outtakes from it that ended up on tracks.
What are the outtakes from Wild and the Innocent that are on tracks?
Well, I probably should have wrote these down, but off the top of my head, I'm thinking about Thundercrack, which was great. I think Zero and Blind Terry. What else?
I can't think. The Thundercrack that's on tracks is not live?
I don't think so, no. No, it has a live feel to it, but I think it's a studio.
All right.
Well, and I'm trying to think of some other outtakes that are on tracks, but I can't. Is Santa Ana on there? I believe that's from that era.
It's definitely from that era. The thing is that, you know, aren't both those albums, the first two albums, from 73?
I believe, well, it's Greetings outtakes starts from there, I know.
And I'm pretty sure they both came out in the same year.
I don't know if it was was it the same year or 1 year apart?
I don't know, but it'll say it over your head when I get this episode up.
Yeah, I thought it was 72, 73, but
it's possible. But they came out close together, and some of the songs, a lot of the songs that are on The Wild and the Innocent were being played before Greetings came out. So those, some of those songs were already, you know, they weren't written specifically, you know, for that album. I think he had a lot of songs ready to go by the time he made those first two albums.
Yeah, well, that first album was so different than the second. He, you know, they wanted just a solo acoustic record from Bruce.
Right, the way he auditioned, that's what he wanted. Like the first four songs or three songs on tracks when he's right at John Hammond's office, that's what they wanted. And he fought to get the band in on that album.
And there's not a whole lot of band on it. There's not it could have been a lot louder and a lot more. There's very little band. It's understated at least on that first album. But so Bruce was busy because you know, he showed up to that, and I think just a couple of days later.
Might have been Sunday night, right? The next day, yeah, right?
Day, I don't know. Again, in Jersey,
it might have been the same day, Saturday night. It might have been because you said that was at 10 in the morning, was the symposium. Might have been the very same day.
Okay, it could have been. But he and this shouldn't have surprised us. I didn't even think of it, but why wouldn't he be there? His wife's being inducted.
I expected him to be there. What I didn't expect was that he would give the induction speech.
Yeah. So it was, I haven't heard it. I don't know if you've heard it as far as.
I haven't heard it. I haven't heard it.
I don't know if there is a recording of it, but.
There's some video. I'll try to grab a clip.
But I did get some quotes. I read some of it from people that were there. And one of the things Bruce said was that he admitted dating Patty before she joined the band. I don't know if you knew about this, but
no, I didn't know about that.
It was the 80s, and he was in the Stone Pony, and he heard her singing.
That is right out of Broadway. When he first heard her singing in the band.
And he asked her out for cheeseburgers after the show, and they went on a date. So it was a little surprising to me because I knew they had met before he hired her for Born in the USA. I knew they had met years earlier, but I didn't know they actually dated until, because that would have been a little strange, I think, to hire a woman for backing vocals on the Born in the USA tour, knowing, first of all, I don't know if he had married yet, but he was getting married at that point. He was at least dating Julianne Phillips. And to hire her over, I'm sure, you know, plenty of women that auditioned, knowing you've already had a
You went from cheeseburgers to dated to a relationship.
Yeah, I'm kind of going.
I got to hear what he had to say. It sounds to me like he took her out for a burger, and maybe they discussed her career path.
Well, he did say it was a date, so it just seems a little strange to me that you don't want to complicate your job. You know, you're in charge. You're hiring, and why wouldn't you just pick a stranger that you hadn't been on a romantic date with, even though they had cheeseburgers? But, you know, it just seemed a little odd to me because he ended up, of course, marrying this woman.
He fell in love with her voice first. So, again, you know, Bruce, the music in his head, what he wants to put out to the audience, that's his first and foremost thought. So when he heard her sing, that date might have really been a job interview.
She was sitting in with a house band, tacked on a smooth surface, and I heard that voice of hers, and I wondered, who is that girl? I went to find out. We went out for cheeseburgers at the Inkwell in my 60 Corvette, and the die was set for many cheeseburgers to come. Patty was street smart, fascinating, lovely, sexy, beautiful redhead with a sound completely her own. The E Street Band was good at many things, but singing harmony was not one of them. So when I met Patty, I felt like I'd found my secret weapon. In 1984, I asked her to join the E Street Band.
And he did say that he hired her because there weren't any band members that could sing harmony. So he hired Patty, which... that makes sense because Steve Van Zandt had quit the band at that point, and he was doing the harmony, and he did a great job with that. So I could see now, you know, if Steve hadn't left the band, there wouldn't have been any reason to hire Patty.
Nor Nils.
Right. So, he also stated that Patty would have been a lot more successful if she hadn't met him, because her success has been overshadowed by his fame over the years. So
that's certainly a possibility. I don't know if it's possible to prove it. What would have happened to Patty Scalfa? My guess is she wouldn't trade it.
No, I suppose there could be some that would be an odd thing though to
does he think she was going to be as big as Bonnie Raitt? Does he think she was going to be as big as Melissa Etheridge?
Sheryl Crow.
Right. Does he think she would? Maybe. She wasn't going to be as big as Bruce Springsteen. She wasn't going to be hanging out with the president. You know what I'm saying?
But she had to have known when they got married that, you know, she was always going to be in the background because this guy is a huge star.
I had to.
Yeah. So, anyway, he did announce that this will be her fourth album that will be coming out later next year. So, and that could mean never, of course, because Bruce continually tells us that something's coming out and it never comes out. So
that is constant. You can't believe it until the press release. And even then, has he ever canceled the project after it was announced? I think there might be one.
Maybe.
But he's it feels like there was. I can't think of one, but it feels like there was a project that got canceled after it was announced. Maybe not. I know there was a couple tours scrapped after the rumor, but not after it was actually announced, except this year where they scrapped a whole bunch.
I wish John Landau would just tell Bruce, hey, no more interviews with Rolling Stone, no more interviews announcing something's coming out. Because it never seems to happen. You know, he did a whole interview telling us all about tracks and when it's coming in the near future and all this. I mean, he's announced this album's coming out. I'm going to do this. And, you know.
Well, that tracks album is coming. Near future is a debatable thought. He didn't say it'll be out in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, or 3 years. He said near future. Future, very accurate. Near. Very subjective. I think they wanted to put it out this year. I think a lot of strange things happened this year. I think we'll see it next year. He definitely has worked on it. And the words where he didn't put any kind of date on when it was coming, he did say one day it's just going to magically appear. So don't lose your hopes that all of a sudden one day you're going to read on whatever news source you use that a whole shitload of new Springsteen just hit iTunes.
I would just rather him say nothing than I just feel like I'm tired of being disappointed. I get my hopes up and I get excited about a release that he starts to talk about and then it never happens. And it's just really strange that everything is being postponed. I don't mean the dates that too, but just these releases because, you know, we're all getting older. And
you know what yesterday was?
Your birthday?
No, it was First Friday.
I was going to bring that up. and again, there we go again. I mean, now I have to say Bruce did not tell us this was going to happen. So
you're the only one. You're the only one that I know who was even talking about. I don't know where you heard that there was one coming. I did not hear from any source at all that it was one coming.
A reliable source, which he wants to be anonymous, but there was a strong rumor that it was going to happen, and it made sense. But First Friday came and went, so we've got nothing, and
I still think there will be a Christmas release, as there has been every year, not a December. First Friday of December. I don't think we'll see one then. Usually in December, there's been two. Aside from 1 year, there's been two every December, one on the first Friday and one on just before Christmas or at Christmas. I expect that we will get that Christmas one, but not the first Friday one. I think First Friday is on hold until after the 2024 tour. I mean, what are they skipping? November, which is too late for. It's not too late to put it out. They've put them out late before, but no one's talking about it. No one's expecting it. I don't think it's just going to start up. November, December, January, February, because March is shows again. So it's 4 months. They could have done them for 4 months, but I think that's a whole shifting gears thing for Nugs. It's a shifting gears thing for whoever puts together. You know, they get those tapes right off the computer. After the show is over, they go to Alt Schiller's equipment and that's all, they're all set up for that. But the archive thing is a different thing. They're pulling up old files that were recorded in different formats on different equipment and sometimes tape and have to be transferred. It's a whole different shifting gears. And I don't think they were prepared for it to not, they thought they were going to be doing my new shows for November and December, all the way through December 6th, there were supposed to be shows. So it was only going to be January, February, because I think they were planning on touring, even though March is all rescheduled dates. Had they played all those shows, I think there would be different dates come March, or at least April, that, you know, they were always planning on doing this Europe tour. Those aren't reschedules. Those are all new dates.
Well, we might end up getting that Christmas album that's been rumored.
That again, your rumor. Where do these rumors come from? You got like a gazoo from the Flintstones who shows up on your shoulder and tells you these things.
Well, he's the only one who hasn't released a Christmas album. So
I'm amazed. He's got enough Christmas material, too, that he could just put out what he's already done.
Yeah, we got the two of them. Merry Christmas, Baby, which is excellent. And Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Blue Christmas is on the Carousel video. That's a, you know, I think you can find that actually on Spotify and stuff, or at least on YouTube. There's more. Run Rudolph. Is there a run? See, I, all those Christmas shows get me. I see a lot of bootlegs, so gets me confused of what's actually legitimately out there. But there's more Christmas than just those three.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not something I'm looking forward to. So,
but you know what I love from the Christmas show? Steve does with Bruce and the band. I think it's Max Weinberg 7 from the Conan show. Steve does the Ramones. It's Christmas and I Don't Want to Fight. You know,
I never heard of it.
Well, it's freaking awesome. I gotta have to pull that for Christmas. I have to pull that out again. The great Christmas show from Asbury Park.
I don't know if you were talking about this, but and there was a Christmas song on the Carousel Show, I believe.
Yeah, Blue Christmas was on the Carousel Show.
There was also an article listing how much Bruce makes per tour.
I didn't see that.
And this just came out, I think it was yesterday. And it says he grosses $142 million
per tour. The tour grosses $142 million, or he does?
He personally grosses $142 million per tour.
Yeah. It's about, what, a third of what he got for his life's work, and he's got to work his ass off for 2 years to do it.
With a stomach ache.
With his stomach, yeah, I know. And yeah, and when they start losing money, how much of it comes out of his end? Not much, because they have insurance. As long as they meet the guidelines for the insurance, you know, they don't lose anything.
Well, hopefully he stops eating pancakes covered in hot sauce.
Well, we saw that. Well, I don't know about the hot sauce. It looked like it might have been whoever was sitting on the other side of the table, but I'm pretty sure those were his pancakes and his orange juice. But he hasn't quit eating that. He's still eating it, and we're not his doctor. We have no idea what his dietary restrictions are.
Yeah. So
was that the whole week? Is that everything for the whole week with Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, it's been a busy week, but
coming up, I don't know if it's next week or the week after. I've got the shooter who I'm just finding a new word for that. I've got the shooter who shot the 1985 Giant Stadium show that I dubbed with Nugs Audio. That we've shown a couple times, and he's going to talk about his gear. What he snuck in, how he snuck it in 1985 to get that screen, mostly screenshot, sometimes stage shot video. And so I'm looking forward to that. He's coming on. I have to look at my calendar. I think it's not next week, but the week after that. The Beatles put out a new song. I saw a great comic strip where a guy's walking past a record store. And I think Steve retweeted it. That's where I saw it. Guy's walking past a record store, and in the window it says number one album in the country, the Rolling Stones, and new Beatles single on sale now. And the guy goes, how far did we turn our clocks back?
Yeah. And they knocked out Taylor Swift.
Now that is an achievement, but only for 5 minutes. Her album will be back to number one as soon as all the Rolling Stones people bought it all at once. But Taylor Swift just keeps on. You know who, I'll never forget when Wrecking Ball came out, it knocked Adele out of the number one spot. She had been there for a year and a half, and Wrecking Ball was there for a week. And then the very next week it was Adele.
Yeah. Well, we all know how Wrecking Ball turned out.
Yeah. It's a great album.
I like the Miley Cyrus song.
I like the Miley Cyrus song too, actually. I don't know much Miley Cyrus, but I know Wrecking Ball, and I like Wrecking Ball. I don't really hear it. You know, I don't listen to pop radio, and I don't have it on my iPad, but I probably heard it like six times, and give it like a wrecking ball.
I know. That's it. Bruce should have recorded that.
They should switch. They should do a swap.
So yeah, this song Now and Then is very, very good. I was surprised because I wasn't sure how it would be. I wasn't thinking it was going to be great, but it really was. And just a day or so before, I'd never heard this song before, but there's a demo from it was on YouTube of the of John Lennon playing it, just practicing it on his piano at home. And
that's where it
so,
came from. I watched the 12-minute documentary. I haven't heard the song yet, but I watched the 12-minute documentary on the making of the song. First of all, they've been working on it for 30 years. In the 90s, all three of the Living Beatles got together to try to work on this song with using that tape of John Lennon playing the piano and singing this song. And they couldn't get it right because the piano sounds like shit and they couldn't get rid of the piano. And so it got benched for years until AI was able to lift his voice off that original tape and eliminate the piano completely. So that demo that you're hearing is actually the exact same recording that is on the new one, but they have completely removed the piano because it sounded bad, ruined the song. No matter how many times they tried to cover it up, they couldn't, but they got AI to just isolate his vocal. And then they put it on with guitar that George did in the 90s because they were trying to do this song back in the 90s. And they were just never happy with how it came out because that piano just kept coming through and it made it sound like shit. So they finally got it via AI when they were able to pull his voice with no piano. And then they laid down the George tracks because he's no longer with us, but he actually did that post-mortem. Post John Lennon's death, he added that guitar track. And that is what's really cool about it. But I haven't had a chance to hear the documentary ends and they released it before they released the song. So it doesn't have the song on it. You hear the John Lennon playing with the piano that you heard on YouTube. You hear that, they play that, and you can hear the vocals. You hear all the little pieces in the documentary, but you don't hear the final cut of the song.
Yeah. Well, you'll really like it. It's and there's a string section added too. And it just sounds excellent. And as far the demo, actually, I love that too. It's really good, and I thought the piano sounded great. But I know they had, they wanted to remove.
They had
that.
Trouble with it. They didn't like it. They had trouble with it. It took them 30 years before they were willing to release it because of the piano. It was all because of that piano. So, then we got the piano. We finally got rid of the piano. I was like, well, there's no George. Maybe we'll find the tape.
There is a video, an official video, but I didn't like it. It's not very good.
I have not seen it, but I did see that 12-minute HBO documentary on the making of the song, and I will check out the song today. I've been so busy.
Well, hopefully next week we'll have some more Bruce news.
Yeah, like a March 22nd Las Vegas show would be very exciting. A release. Yes. I don't know. You're still hanging in there for a release. I don't think we're getting a release this year. I think that's it. We're into November. The Black Friday ads are already out. And Bruce Springsteen box set, her new album, ain't on it. It ain't coming this year. We didn't even get a first Friday. Just come by my channel. I'll show you a new video and we'll get by another month. There's just not going to be a release every year. And this year, not going to be a release. But there are going to be shows next year. A lot of them in Europe. 22 more Europe shows. That's where the money is, right? That's where he really makes the money. Stadium shows. The tickets are cheaper there than they were here. I guess the stadium shows here were about the same as the stadium. That's the difference, is we got arena shows, and arena shows are just more expensive. Guess it's worth it. I don't want to go to a stadium. You want to go to a stadium?
No.
I don't want to go to a stadium. I like arena shows. All right. I think we're there. I think we've said all there is to say this week in Springsteen news. Is there anything that you'd like to tell anybody today before we call it quits, Tom?
I'd like to tell John Landau to release tracks.
All right, John, are you listening? I'm starting to believe that you're not watching this show. Be so greatly disappointing to me. But I have faith. If you're out there listening, hook Tom up. Send him an advanced copy. Maybe he can, you know, at least critique it, let people know what's coming next year. All right. That is the world's greatest Springsteen podcast. For Tom and sometimes Maddie, I'm Fisherman the Bootlegger, who pays the highest price, and the world's greatest Springsteen podcast loves you.